I'd like everyone to have a copy of God's Word this morning. So if you don't have a Bible this morning, we're going to be looking at some verses there together. Just raise your hand up nice and high. Don't be embarrassed. Our ushers will come. That's what they're there for. And they'll hand one out to you. So raise your hand up nice and high. And I'd like us to see the theme verse together in the Word of God. Amen. Before we unveil the banners. Well, thank you for praying, church family, as we prepare for the year ahead. Thank you, ushers, for helping out this morning. Now, before we unveil the banners, let me just thank you for praying. Every year I seek the Lord's will, of course, in every area, but one specific area is the yearly theme for the year ahead. And last year the Lord had us to focus on the theme of revival. And we looked at many different subjects, many different areas of revival that I trust you were blessed with. And late last year I was praying and the Lord just continued to lay on my heart the theme for our church. Now remember, when the Lord shows me something, it's not just for me or my family. When God shows me something for the church, it's for all of us together. And I'm glad you can be here this morning. Because we're excited, amen, that God is at work in our midst. And when He shows us something, we ought to be excited. And we ought to say, Lord, I want to live for You this year. And Lord, I'm excited about what You want to show me. And Lord, if You show us something, that means You'll help us to live it. And that's always an exciting thing. Isn't it wonderful that we can all have God's Word at home? And we can read God's Word and He will speak to us each day. But the theme for our church is a special one because it means God has something for all of us here at Coastline Baptist Church. Well, before we unveil the banners, last year we were in the Old Testament for our yearly theme. Now this year we will be in the New Testament. So if you'll turn with me to the New Testament this morning, and you can turn anywhere you like to the New Testament. Now this year, our theme verse is from the very last book of the Bible. So turn with me to the last book of the Bible in the New Testament, the book of the Revelation. Now our theme is from two verses in this wonderful book. Go with me to the first chapter. If you'll turn with me there. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 1. Let's read verse number 3 together out loud. On to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. 1, 2. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. All right, let's go to the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. See if you can guess what the theme is. All right. Revelation chapter number 22. All right, is everyone there? Revelation 22, verse number 10. Let's read this verse aloud together once again. Revelation 22, verse 10. On to 1, 2. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. All right, ushers, thank you. You may unveil our banners for this year with our new yearly theme on them. So the theme for 2015 for Coastline Baptist Church is the time is at hand. The time is at hand. Now don't turn your Bibles to another page. You can leave them there. Thank you, ushers. Now, this is our theme taken from the two verses, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, and then Revelation chapter 22 and verse 10. And I'll explain, of course, as we go. Now, first of all, this morning, as we launch into this year's theme, notice with me that the theme this year, the time is at hand, is a statement of urgency, isn't it? It is a statement of urgency. The words at hand are literally translated, young people, to be near. And God is saying that the prophecies which will be fulfilled, written in the book of the Revelation, are at hand. And they are near. Now the challenge for you and I this morning and this year is that if they were near and at hand in the day of John, how much more so would they be at hand and near for us today? You see, God is stressing to us through His Word that the time of the Lord's return is near at hand and more closer to us than ever before. There you'll notice I've also added another verse from Revelation 22, verse 12. Look with me there. You should be still there in chapter 22 and verse 12. Notice what the Lord Jesus said to John. And He says to us this morning, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, Jesus said, "And behold, I come quickly." Behold, I come quickly. Now the word quickly means exactly what it sounds like. Behold, I come quickly. The word quickly means suddenly. In fact, it means by surprise. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not only describing the timing of His coming, but the way that He will come. And if you're a born-again Christian here this morning, my friends, we are waiting for the next event on the prophetic calendar, which is the sudden and imminent return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is nothing left to be fulfilled in the prophecy of God's Word to stop the sudden imminent return of Christ to snatch us up into the clouds, and then we will be forever with Him. But you see, we need to be mindful as Christians that there is an urgency in the Christian life. The time is at hand. And this is what banner number one reflects. It reflects the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ will come. The Bible says, now look up here this morning, the Bible says in the Word of God that Christ will come and take every born-again believer off the face of this earth. Then following that rapture, which is what that event which we call the rapture, the Bible says the world will experience a 7-year period of judgment, called the tribulation, indeed the great tribulation. And God will give mankind one last opportunity to repent. And God, of course, will focus on particularly on the nation of Israel. And that will be His focus once He takes the church saints away. God is going to focus on the nation of Israel, and He is going to work on their hearts, and they will repent and turn to Him. But you see, God wants to motivate us to realize that the time is at hand, that the end is coming, and we need to be a prepared people. Now, here's a question. What does God want to motivate us to do? When God tells us, for example, that the time is at hand, does God want to scare us as Christians, yes or no?
A little bit.
Maybe a little bit. Well, He wants to wake us up, but He doesn't want us to be afraid that the time is at hand. And you know, there are many Christians today that are afraid because they simply don't know what's written in the Word of God. And I trust that won't be for you this year. You see, when it comes to prophecy, there are many Christians that unfortunately don't get the message. Some Christians are alarmed. They get worried about world events and they become fearful and addicted to the TV and trying to keep up with every news event, worried about what is just around the corner. Some Christians become distracted and they start to look for a conspiracy theory in every world event and in every election campaign. Some Christians get distracted. But then there are other Christians, and that's whom I hope you will be this year. Christians that are encouraged to see that God's plan is at work exactly on time as He said it would be. And God's plan for the ages is being unveiled exactly as He said it would be, in His control, and He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords, and God is in control of everything that takes place today. And God wants to encourage us through this theme this year that He is still on the throne. He is still on the throne. And then what does God want to motivate us to do? Well, He wants us to realize that the time is at hand. Christian, the hour is late in 2015. And we need to get serious about the Christian life now more than ever before. Amen. That's what banner number two represents. You see, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly. I want you to be afraid." Is that what he said? No. "Behold, I come quickly. I want you to get caught up in all the conspiracy theories on the internet." Is that what he said? No. He said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." You see, Jesus is coming, and we will stand before the Lord as Christians, and we will have to give an account for what we've done with our Christian lives. See, the reason why God tells us that the time is at hand is because he wants us to get serious about the Christian life. He doesn't want us to be backslidden Christians when he comes. He doesn't want us to be ashamed at his coming. In fact, look, he wants to reward us. God says, "And my reward is with me." He wants to reward us. He has rewards in store for you and I if we would simply do one thing: to work, to serve the Lord, to be faithful, to be prepared for his coming. This banner here on the right-hand side balances out the one on the left. The one on the left tells us that the time is at hand, the end of days is near. But also, as we prepare for the Lord's coming, we need to be serving the Lord. We need to be faithful. This banner depicts the work of the believer. You know, serving God isn't light work. It's sweaty work, amen, in the city of Cairns. Yes, and we will have to sweat. We will have to put in some effort, but it is rewarding work. Notice there on the banner, we see the process of refining. And of refining of gold, if you will. From the Word of God, we are reminded that God is doing a work in our lives. He wants to change us this year more so into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, if you didn't grow much last year, let me give you some good news. God has a new plan for you in 2015. He wants you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to be confident in your faith, especially when the world is falling down around us. My friends, we live in fearful days. We need to be confident Christians this year. On this banner, you'll see the Word of God, which needs to be the foundation for our lives. As God works in our lives, this image of gold in the top background reminds us God wants us to invest our lives in that which is eternal. Gold, silver, and precious stones. He wants us to invest our lives in those things that will last forever. And the Bible says that God will reward us in eternity to come if we're faithful. But notice also, we need to work, for the night is coming. The sun is setting, my friends. The sun upon the days of our journey as Christians. The end is near. The time is at hand. And we need to realize we don't have all the time in the world to get serious about the Christian life. Now, please, let me say one thing as we begin. Don't label Pastor James as a prophet, all right? I'm not a prophet. Don't tell anyone Pastor James has said the Lord is coming this year. In fact, you can tell them that Pastor James has said that the Lord can come any minute, amen? He could come right now. The Lord doesn't tell us when the hour is. He doesn't give us the date. And in fact, he tells us that it's foolish to try and look for signs to indicate and pinpoint the exact time of his return. But he does tell us prophecies in his word and show us prophecies that have been fulfilled that indicate the time is at hand. So for the little introduction this morning to our yearly theme, I would like us to look at three prophecies that have been fulfilled that indicate very powerfully that the time is at hand. What can we see in the Word of God today that reinforces what God has told to us in the book of the Revelation? We don't know the exact time of the rapture, but God tells us when the end will draw near by prophecies that will be fulfilled. How do we know that the time is at hand more than ever? Well, first of all, this morning, one of the signs we see is the sign of the nation of Israel. The sign of the nation of Israel. Now, if you want to know where we are at in God's timeline, you just need to keep your eye on the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, as Brother Rees mentioned, is God's timepiece. It's like God's clock, the nation of Israel. If you want to know where we are at in God's prophetic calendar, keep your eye on the nation of Israel. Now remember back in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us about 2000 BC, God gave a promise to Abraham. Now remember, he gave a promise to Abraham and he said to Abraham, I will give you this land, the land of Canaan, if you will, for an everlasting possession. And he reinforced that promise to his son Isaac and then also to Jacob. And Jacob's name was changed to what? It was changed to Israel. And God gave them the promise of the promised land. They're in the area of where the nation of Israel is today, in that general area. Now, what happened was when Moses led the nation of Israel out of Egypt, remember, God gave his people his laws. Now, we don't have time to look at all the laws, but in Deuteronomy chapter number 28, God made two things very clear. Deuteronomy chapter number 28, God made two things very clear to the nation of Israel. He said, if you obey me, what will happen? I will bless you, God said. Now look up here this morning, and God also said another thing. If you disobey me, you will be cursed as a consequence of your sin. And also, don't miss this point, God said you will be driven out of the land. You will be driven out of the land. And God fulfilled that promise in the Old Testament every time the nation of Israel rebelled against God. You see, God keeps his promises. Now, what happened when the nation of Israel was there in the land and the Messiah came? Did they accept their Messiah, Jesus Christ, yes or no? No, they did not. And so God's promises were fulfilled once again. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was nailed to an old rugged cross. And then on the third day, he rose again from the dead in full payment for our sins. So the world could be saved, so that each person could come in repentance to God and put faith in Christ for their salvation and be forgiven once and for all. But you see, for the nation of Israel that rejected Christ as a nation, yes, Jews were saved, certain Jews. The first apostles were Jews. But as a nation, they rejected Christ. So what happened? The Bible tells us and history shows us that God's promise was fulfilled. They were pushed out of the land. The Roman Empire in 70 AD under Titus destroyed Jerusalem, the temple, and the Jews as a people were scattered throughout the whole world. And church family, that's where they remained for most of the 20th century. Why? Because they rejected their Messiah. They were scattered throughout the world. They faced persecution as God had promised. But then something happened in fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter number 37. Now turn with me. Here's one of the prophecies that show us that the time is at hand. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 4, there in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel was a prophet that lived in 587 BC. Now, Ezekiel, he received a message from the Lord, a prophecy, chapter 37, verse 4. And God said to him, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now what do these bones represent? Well, have a look in verse 11 for a second. Ezekiel chapter number 37, verse 11. God says, then he said unto the Son of Man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So God was giving Ezekiel a very special prophecy. He was showing Ezekiel, whom he would tell to the nation of Israel, that one day you will be brought back together, just like bones being joined back together to form a body. And then as Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 5 and 6 tells us, that flesh and muscle will be put onto that body. God will bring back the nation of Israel together as a nation back into their land. But that will happen in two stages. They will be reassembled, but they will still be in unbelief. They won't have life in them, spiritual life. They will live in unbelief until Christ comes and does a work, before he comes, in fact, And God will bring them to repentance and He will put His Spirit within them. But first of all, what will happen is they will be reassembled, brought back into the land, and they will have a national identity. And my friends, what do we see today in fulfillment of this scripture? My friends, we see today none other than Israel back in the land. A miracle occurred on May the 14th, 1948. Israel once again was recognized as a nation. 1948, that's when it happened, church family. America recognized the Declaration of Independence and they were recognized as a nation once again. And my friends, that is in exact fulfillment of the Word of God. They are still in unbelief. In fact, they are more unbelieving than many people in the world today, but not for long. They will repent and receive Christ as their Savior during the tribulation. But we need to realize that this promise has been fulfilled. The sign of the nation of Israel. They are back in the land. And my friends, this is an absolute miracle. Don't miss it that for almost 2,000 years, they were without a national identity. And they kept their identity as Jews for all those years. And now they are back in the land. My friends, the time is at hand. The time is at hand because of the sign of the nation of Israel. It's a powerful sign that we are living in the last days. We need to remember to keep our eyes on the nation of Israel. They are back in the land. And by the way, they are making preparations to build the third temple. They are making preparations to build the third temple. Come with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. You might say this morning, what do you mean, Pastor, about a temple? What does that really mean? Is that important at all? Well, have a look in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 3. Are you still with me this morning?
Yep.
Amen. Okay, if you speak up, I won't repeat things. Amen. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3. Look with me there in your Bibles. Here's another prophecy regarding the end times. The Bible says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, that is the last days, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So here the Bible tells us two things, that there will be a time of great apostasy, a falling away, people who call themselves Christians will turn away from the truth, and also another thing, we see that the son of perdition, the Antichrist, will be revealed. Notice verse number 4. What does he do, this Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You see, the Bible tells us that the Antichrist will turn on Israel and will occupy the temple and set an idol of himself up within the very temple of God. He will lift himself up to be as God. But before he can do that, there needs to be a temple in existence. Isn't that right? There needs to be one that is built. And my point is this morning, any preparations that are underway for the building of the next temple is a very powerful sign that the time is at hand. The time is at hand, my friends. The Jews are in preparation. If you look online at www.templeinstitute.org, you will see the Temple Institute, which was founded in 1986 with this goal, listen carefully, to see Israel rebuild the Holy Temple on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. That is the goal of the Temple Institute. Let me read some things for you. The Institute is preparing articles, objects to be used in the temple. At much expense, tens of millions of dollars have been donated, and based on extensive research, they have fashioned the priestly garments, the clothing the priest will wear, the high priest's golden crown costing more than $30,000, the high priest's breastplate, the breastplate with 12 precious stones inscribed with the names of the trials of Israel, the copper laver, an altar of incense, silver trumpets, gold and silver plated shofars, harps, and many other things. They are already preparing for the temple. They're building all the instruments of worship already ready to be installed in the temple. Now, perhaps the most impressive object is the large menorah, the menorah that has been fashioned from 95 pounds of pure gold, valued at about $2.5 million. Now, the Temple Institute, listen carefully, is constructing a full-scale model of the temple near the Dead Sea for the use for training priests. They are already training men to be priests, and they are planning to build a full-scale model. In July 2012, the Temple Institute published a video entitled "The Children Are Ready," depicting children building a model of the Third Temple on an Israeli beach. And my point simply is this, my friends. The time is at hand. Israel is back in the nation. They are preparing elements for the temple, and when it will be rebuilt, they will be ready to go. And that ought to move you and I to have some urgency in the Christian life. Amen. You see, the time is at hand. And before the Antichrist is revealed and he sets himself up as God in the temple, my friend, before that happens, the rapture will occur. And you and I will be gone. And if that happens before these events are fulfilled, how much do we see today that the time is at hand? That we are living in the last days. Sometimes we lose sight as Christians, don't we? Of the big picture of God's timeline. My friends, we are right in it. We are living in the last days of Christianity. We are living in the last days of the church age saints. And now's not the time to sit back and get lost in the world and to be consumed with fear. No, my friends, now is the time to realize that the time is at hand, and we need to live victorious Christian lives in the day in which we live. The sign of the nation of Israel. My friends, the time is at hand. Is at hand. Now, this year we're going to be doing something exciting. We're going to be, every Sunday morning, Lord willing, we're going to be reading and preaching through the book of the Revelation. Does that sound exciting or not? Hallelujah. Amen. One of the most exciting books in the Bible. Now, you would have noticed, chapter 1, verse 3, look with me there. You might say, well, Pastor, these things are going to happen after we're gone. Well, not so. There are many things in the Word of God that are for us today. And God also wants us to know what is ahead so we will live in the right way for today. Notice with me what God says in chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that, what's the next word? Readeth. And they that hear the words of this prophecy, and what's the next word? And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You see, God not only wants us to hear these truths, he not only wants us to study them for ourselves, but he wants us to obey the Word of God right here in the book of the Revelation. So Sunday mornings during the main service together, we are going to look and study through this book and see what God has for us. You see, God doesn't want us to be fearful. When you look at the news, when you look at world events, God wants you to look through the eyeglass and the eyepiece of the Word of God so that you can see clearly and live a victorious Christian life in 2015. See, God doesn't want you to fear. He wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to be strengthened in your faith. And let me challenge you, church family, if you're not here on Sunday morning, how are you going to be strengthened in your faith this year? If you're not here as we study through the book of the Revelation, what are you going to miss out? Let me challenge you to be here as we study through this most important book for the church. The Bible says in chapter 22, verse 16, I have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things, that's the book of the Revelation, in the churches. It is for us. It is for us today more than ever, church family. Well, we see the sign of the nation of Israel. All right, stay with me this morning. Next, we see the sign of great apostasy. The sign of great apostasy. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. What are some fulfillment of prophecy? Some prophetic statements that have been fulfilled that indicate that the time is at hand. Well, the nation of Israel is back in the land. But also there is great apostasy, my friends. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Here are some prophecies, some predictions concerning what we describe as apostasy. A departing from the faith. People who call themselves Christians turning away from the truth of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. All right, are you there with me? Look with me at this prophecy. Let's read this verse out loud together, shall we? On 2. 1, 2. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times shall come. All right, verse number 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, church family, is this true for us today in our world? Men shall be lovers of them their own selves. We live in the self-love generation. But what? Notice with me verse number 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Church family, this is speaking of the apostasy of the day. False teachers teaching things that are not true according to the Word of God. And God tells us one of the signs of the last days is a great apostasy. Many people that call themselves Christians pushing away the Word of God and turning themselves to believe in lies and believing those who are lying to them. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 3 to 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. The Bible says in verse 3, for the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? That is the Word of God and the clear preaching of it. They will not endure, they won't accept sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You see, God tells us in His Word that in the last days, one of the signs will be a great departing from the faith, a great departure from the truth. There will be many people out there and churches out there that call themselves Christians, but they are not. They have turned unto fables, lies, deception, great apostasy. And my friends, that is what we see in our world today. And it is getting more and more powerful. There is an explosion of apostasy today, my friends, that has spread throughout the whole world. So that as a pastor, I can confidently say, and very sorrowfully say this morning, that most of the churches that call themselves Christian today are absolutely apostate. They are apostate. They have departed from the truth of the Word of God. And my friends, this is a powerful indication that the time is at hand. We live in the last days. For example, we can look at the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church. If you go to Rome, you will see Mary worshipped as the Queen of Heaven. In fact, in every Catholic church, Mary is worshipped. In fact, she is worshipped in a greater way than the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go to Rome, you'll see Mary crucified on a cross right next to Jesus Christ. My friends, what blasphemy is that? The worship of Mary. And my friends, the Catholic Church is nothing but Christian heathenism. It is absolutely pagan to the core and idolatrous. And yet the Catholic Church has the most people in their churches today. They call themselves Christians. You might be here this morning, you might say, Pastor, why don't we have more people in our church? I've been to churches around town over the years and their buildings are full. Why don't we have a full building here this morning? Well, there are some reasons. Now, one of them is the fact that we live in a time of great apostasy where people don't want to hear sound doctrine. They want to hear that which feeds their own fleshly lusts. They want teachers that will tickle their itchy ears. They want teachers that will tell them what they want to hear. My friends, that's the day that we live in. We can see the Roman Catholic Church trying to bring all religions, not just Christians, but all religions under their own banner. Then we can see the Protestant churches that came out of the Reformation. The Protestant churches, for example, the Anglicans, the Uniting Church, which includes the Methodists and Salvation Army and the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, and so on. These once stood against some things during the Reformation against the Catholic Church, but not everything. When they came out of the Catholic Church, they took a lot of the leaven, the poison, with them. And they became corrupted over the years. So what do we see today? We see churches that are once stood for some of the truth of the Word of God become apostate once again. My friends, we have churches today, the Uniting Church, that does not believe, my friends, that does not believe God's Word is the complete, perfect Word of God. And that God created the world in six literal days. They don't believe that Christ is all you need for salvation. I was door knocking back in Sydney for almost 7 years. And time again, I had fierce confrontations with people who called themselves Anglicans and Lutherans and Presbyterians and people from Uniting Church debating me whether or not you can be sure that your sins are forgiven once and for all, that Christ is all you need. My friends, there is great apostasy in the world today. People have turned from the Word of God. You can meet people in Christian churches this morning that have no idea where they're going when they die. Yes, there are some saved people in those churches. But I tell you what, if they are saved, more often than not, they've come from sound Bible-believing churches to begin with. And they have turned unto fables. But that's the day that we live in. Apostasy in the churches. There are Protestant churches embracing same-sex marriages. Can you believe it? What great apostasy and wickedness in the churches of God. My friends, that's the day we live in. And as Christians, we need to realize that. Now, there are many Bible-believing Christians now coming out of those churches. I believe in the days ahead, we will see people who love the truth leaving the apostasy of the day and seeking independent churches that believe in the Word of God and that hold to sound doctrine. But don't lose sight of what's happening in our day, Christian. You see, I believe the average Christian thinks that Christianity today is just like a bunch of ice cream flavors. There's all sorts of different flavors out there, and we're one of them. Well, we like old-fashioned music. We kind of dress a little bit nicer. We might wear a tie in church. That's just our flavor. And you know, we like to use the King James Bible. I'm afraid that's what the average Christian thinks. That we're just one of the flavors, and there are many other flavors out there. And look, if you don't like this one, just go and have a taste of another over there. It's all good. It's all Christianity. No, my friend, that is not true. There is great apostasy today, and the reason why we don't do things the same way here than we find in other churches is because they have departed from the faith. Amen. This is the last days, my friends, and we need to wake up. Yep. We need to wake up because the emerging church is on the move. The emerging church that calls themselves Christian, the rock and roll church, the Hillsong church, the church that lifts up CCM music, contemporary Christian music, and have become nothing but entertainment centres. You know what those churches have fulfilled? They have fulfilled exactly what chapter 4 and verse 3 tells us. The people that go to those churches are simply seeking that which will tickle their ears and stir up their own fleshly lusts. That's what that rock music does. Stirs up your own fleshly lusts. And the preaching is just a short little message about how you can improve your own life and become prosperous in wealth and success by asking Jesus to be your best friend. Excuse me. That's not what the Bible teaches. And there is great apostasy. And there are still invitations in those churches for people to come forward and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. But my friends, it's not the same Savior. It is another Jesus. It is another gospel. And you and I need to be wise according to the Word of God this year. Because apostasy is increasing. The Pentecostal charismatic movement has infiltrated all the emerging church facets today. Displayed by emotional worship and so-called miracles and healings and tongues gibberish and holy laughter and slaying in the Spirit and so on. My friends, that's not found in the Word of God. All these things come from the so-called Toronto blessing, where it was believed that this special moving of the Holy Spirit appeared and now will spread throughout the churches. My friends, that's not what the Bible says. Let me show you what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 1. Here's another prophecy concerning the apostasy of the last days. 1 Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, speaketh expressly that in the last times some shall depart from the faith." That's what apostasy means. "Giving heed to seducing spirits." Notice this. and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. Now, God doesn't play games with His Word. Amen? He doesn't dumb it down for us. My friends, the devil has entered the church of Jesus Christ. The devil is building his church today. And it is an apostate church. It is a church with false doctrine, false practices, and a false Jesus. And we need to realize that this is happening right now. And I'm afraid there are independent Baptists that were once Bible-believing Christians that are leaving the church, the local New Testament church, even our church, and going to apostate churches in our town. Now, you may know some of them who you've met recently that have left our church, that have headed into apostasy. And my friends, you may be the next one if you don't see that the time is at hand. And we live in this day of apostasy. And there are seducing spirits that want to seduce you, that want to lure you away where your family can grow in Jesus Christ, where your children can be saved, where you can be built up in the faith right here at Coastline Baptist Church. My friends, we need to see the world from God's perspective, don't we? There are not a whole bunch of flavors out there. There's only one flavor. That is the local New Testament Bible-believing church. If it's not independent Baptist, it needs to be Bible-believing, amen? It needs to be Bible-believing and hold to the Word of God. And there aren't that many around here in Cairns, I guarantee you. But there are many other churches, and they're not different flavors of Christianity. They're different flavors of poison, of leaven, of apostasy. Teenagers, you need to listen up to the Word of God this year. Now, Sunday nights, we are going to go through a series on the apostasy of the last days. We are going to look in detail at what God's Word says. What does He say will happen when the time is at hand? And how can we be sure to avoid apostasy coming into our church? False doctrine. How can we be sure not to follow our friend when they say, hey, come to my church with me. Hey, I'm a Christian too. How can we be sure to avoid the temptation of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? My friends, this is serious business. The apostasy of the last days. And by the way, a very important application on our Sunday night series will be the issue of soul winning. My friends, we can't expect those with a false gospel to go out and win souls. We can't expect them to fulfill the Great Commission, to tell others the true meaning of salvation. No, my friends, God has commissioned us as born-again believers to tell others about the gospel that saved us, amen? The gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't expect the churches that have gone into apostasy to do that. No, they're reaching people, but they're reaching people with a false gospel, with error, with apostasy. And let me challenge you to be here on Sunday nights. Parents, some of your children are asking questions. Why are we so different from other churches? Why don't we have tens of thousands of people in our church? Why don't we play rock music in our church? Why don't we speak tongues? Why don't we have miraculous laying on of hands and healings? Why don't we have some sort of special revival meeting where everyone falls on the floor and is slayed in the Spirit because some special speaker says, all right, the Holy Spirit has come and He lays His hand on your forehead. Why don't we do those things here? Well, we'll be finding that out on Sunday night. We'll be seeing what God says about tongues. We'll be looking into what God says about Bible versions. Why do we use the King James Bible? Why do we use this Bible? Is it because it's just our flavor? Or is it because it is the Word of God? Sunday night, that will be our series. So Sunday morning, the book of the Revelation. Sunday night, the apostasy of the last days. Are you getting excited? Amen. Amen. This is what the Lord has for us this year. This is what the Lord has for us in the church. In fact, God challenged me. He said, James, if you don't remind God's people of these truths, you are not being a good minister of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Paul said to Timothy as a young pastor, if you don't tell God's people about this, you are not a good minister of Jesus Christ. They need to remember time and time again that the apostasy is at hand. What does it look like? How can we avoid it? And what do we need to do to make sure we preach the gospel and save people out of those dens of sin? The apostasy of the last day. Well, we see the sign of the nation of Israel, the sign of great apostasy, and very quickly this morning, we see the sign of the generation of godlessness. The generation of godlessness, a generation that rejects God. Notice with me in Luke chapter 17, at another prophecy of the Word of God, the book of Luke, chapter 17. And we're almost there. Stay with me this morning. Luke chapter 17. The nation of Israel is back in the land. Apostasy is exploding around the world. We'll look into it in more detail on Sunday evenings in a few weeks' time. What's another sign of that the time is at hand? Well, the sign of the godless generation we live in. Luke chapter 17, notice verse 26. Luke 17, verse 26. Are you there with me this morning? Okay, Luke 17, 26. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. The Bible tells us here in the Word of God that the last days, before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, before His coming, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in our day. A great rejection of God. Great wickedness shall abound. Great godlessness. My friends, in our generation, we have seen the explosive rise of atheism, have we not? A religion that believes that there is no God. And if your children go to a public school, even some of them who go to a religious school will be taught the theory of evolution as fact. That God did not create this world in 6 days. But we have come here and we are a result of random chance. Without God, that's the point. A godless generation. And we see a worldwide movement today that is in a wholehearted rejection of God. We see the homosexual agenda. We see that agenda. Notice with me in verse 28, another prophecy. Verse 28, likewise also, as it was in the days of, what's the next word? As it was in the days of Lot, likewise also. This will be a characteristic and a sign that the time is at hand. As it was in the days of Lot. In the days of Lot, what was way out of control? It was the issue of sodomy. It was the issue of sodomy, church. And that's what we see today once again. Another powerful sign that the time is at hand. And my friends, sodomites are pushing more and more for equality. And who would have ever believed that it would be legalized in our day that two men could get married and two women could get married? My friend, once upon a time that was illegal. And rightly so. Because it is perverted. It is wicked. It is an abomination to God. But remember, God tells us that this will be a sign of the last days. This will come back in a greater way. If you see that this morning, God is encouraging you to understand that He is in control and the time is at hand, and we need to be busy about the work of God. We need to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Sing it, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. We've already read it. Let me share this with you. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. Do you know what that word, Christian, means, perilous? It means dangerous. Dangerous times. For who? For who? For us. For us as Christians. If we don't take heed to the Word of God, perilous times will come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And you see, as Christians, either we will grow this year and learn to walk in victory in the midst of the last days because the time is at hand, or you and I will be swallowed up in the fears of the world. You and I will be swallowed up by the apostasy of the world. You and I will be swallowed up by the persecution of the world. You see, more and more and more, parents, listen to me this morning, it's going to be harder and harder to come out and say that you're a Christian. We will be looked upon, if you will, as the sodomites of the past. We are looked upon as the ones who are wrong. We are looked upon as the ones who are wicked. We are looked upon as the ones who are foolish as Christians. And it's just going to get worse. But the good news is, in God's Word, we have the wonderful promises to help us to walk in victory. Now listen carefully. On Sunday mornings during our main service, we'll study through the book of the Revelation. Sunday nights, we'll be looking at issues of apostasy in the last days. For our adult class right here during our Sunday school hour, we are going to look at a series called Strength for the Last Days. We are going to study through the book of 1 and 2 Peter, a book that was written to Christians during great times of persecution and great violence and persecution in their lives, and learn how you and I can stand victorious in the last days. You see, God has given us His Word. His Word is the guide for our life. The prophecies that we've read this morning are all according to the Word of God. The time is at hand, and you and I can't afford to not be in church this year. I trust you see that this morning. I'm not here to force you to come to church, brethren. But I'm saying this morning, you need to be in the house of God. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves. The Bible's very clear. Don't not come to church, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you see that we are in the last days and the time is at hand, God is saying, you need to up your church attendance. You need to be in church even more so. This is our safe haven, amen? This is the safe haven for your children, parents. This is the safe haven for your families. There will be things that will happen in the world that will shock you, that will discourage you, that may even hurt you. And we need to be prepared for them in 2015. This is not a doomsday theme, amen? No, this is a theme of preparation for the imminent return of Jesus Christ. He wants us to always have that in the forefront of our minds, no matter what banners are up here. But this year we're going to specifically focus on this theme. So you and I can grow. We can be encouraged and we can encourage others. Teenagers, Brother Andy will be teaching a series about living in victory in the Christian life. Our teenage Sunday school. Parents, please bring your teenagers so they can learn to live in victory during the challenges of this year. That's coming up in our Sunday school series. Parents, bring your children. Many of them are fearful about the future. And if they're fearful, let me just humbly say, that's your fault. If your children are panicking about the future and what's happening ahead, that is your fault. Because you're the one that needs to have the answers from God's Word and show them, hey, look what God says. We have great hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. At least bring them to church, amen? At least bring them. And learn and grow so we can encourage one another in the faith. I hope you get the message of the theme this morning. As a way of introduction, there is no doubt we are living in the last days and the time is at hand. The question is, are you ready to meet God? Are you prepared? If you're here this morning and you are not sure about your salvation, if you are not sure that you have truly repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ as Saviour, and that you are forgiven once and for all, if you're not sure whether your soul is right with God and whether you have escaped hellfire, let me encourage you, the time is at hand. Don't waste any time in coming up and seeing us this morning and saying, Pastor, I need to make sure this morning before it's too late. Now, if you are saved, let me challenge you, church family. The time is at hand. We need to get serious about the Christian life. Get serious about being in church, amen? Get serious about the coming of our Lord. How are you serving God? What way are you serving God with your life? My friends, there will be many opportunities this year and many different ministries to serve God. I'm not going to put this banner up here and not encourage you to serve in some ministries and help you to live the life God wants you to live. I understand, yes, that's my responsibility to encourage you. There will be opportunities this year if you stick with God. And you'll enjoy and rejoice in the moment that He comes and His reward is with Him. My friends, the time is at hand. Let's get excited about what God has for us in 2015. And let's walk with caution, but let's walk with victory in the year ahead.